I deserve the right to be there. I'll get to it somehow. And I know what it's like to be scared. It seems to confound me. Feel the breeze of a new fair. When to
that was Beth McKee right here on KGNU. It's 8:03. It is time for Dixie Marmaland once a month, where we give Jack Rummel, Dr. Jack, a break from the fabulous ragtime America, and we play a little traditional New Orleans jazz for you. Each DJ does it differently. Today, I'll be doing traditional New Orleans jazz and some non-traditional New Orleans jazz, and I'm also going to feature an interview with a favorite author of mine named David Fulmer. Thank you, Greg. I won't call you by your nickname because I don't want to embarrass you, but he'll pull the plug for a wonderful Highway 322. Thank you, folks, learned listener, for your support of KGNU. Let's get into it. We're going to listen to Tom Sankton doing Burgundy Street Blues, a classic by George Lewis. He's joined with John Rankin on guitar and Tom Fisher on clarinet as well. It's called Burgundy Street Blues. Thank you.
drive down to New Orleans, the land of dreams, that city, it's so pretty, with those historic scenes,
down yonder in New Orleans.
Oh, I'll take you, and I'll parade you, up and down Bourbon Street. Yes, now we'll see all those hot spots, we'll meet all those big shots, up and down Bourbon
get you and a taxi, baby. You be ready about a 8:30. Look, honey, now don't be late, 'cause I wanna be there when that band starts to play. And so remember, when we get there, honey, I'll take 2 steps and have a ball. I'm gonna dance right out of my shoes. Yeah, when the band play the Jelly Roll Blues tomorrow night, if the Dugtown Strut does a ball. Yes, I'll be down to get you in a taxi, baby. You better be ready by the 8:30. Now, honey, don't be late, 'cause I'm gonna take 2 steps and have
Don't be late. I wanna be there when the band starts playing. Remember, when we get there, honey, gonna take two steps and have a ball. Gonna dance right out of my shoes when the band plays the Jelly Roll Blues. Tomorrow night at the dark town strut and fall.
Thank you. That's the Gerald French Band doing the Darktown Strutters Ball from a compilation from WWOZ, our community sister station in New Orleans, and that's from the Jazz and Heritage Festival recorded in 2013. This is the Dixieland Marmalade. My name is Joanne. I've just got an hour with you, so I'll try to make it quick. We started off with Tom Sankton, the Burgundy Street Blues, with his classic jazz trio featuring John Rankin on guitar and Tom Fisher also on clarinet. We heard Burgundy Street Blues, made famous by George Lewis. That was followed by George Lewis and Bunk Johnson, recorded in 1944-1945. We heard Blues in C Bunk Johnson, some tremendous traditional New Orleans jazz. Then we heard contemporary New Orleans jazz, the Red Hot Brass Band, featuring my friend Doyle Cooper in that. And we heard the Bourbon Street Parade, written by Paul Barbaran, a great family of New Orleans musicians in New Orleans, Bourbon Street Parade. And then finally, the Gerald French Band doing the Darktown Strutters Ball. I want to play this interview that that I taped back in April with that author David Fulmer. It's about Storyville, and I was just looking to play some music for you. Those of you who are familiar with New Orleans know about Storyville. It was a legal prostitution area in New Orleans that thrived from 1897 to 1917. Quite remarkable. Very little music, if any, is recorded from there. The musician that we know the most about was a fellow named Tony Jackson, who wrote a song called Pretty Baby, and I think that movie with Susan Sarandon and Brooke Shields was kind of loosely based on that. Photographer Ernest Belloc photographed the women of Storyville. Anywho, this my friend David Fulmer did this amazing book, and we're going to listen to this interview, and then I'll do my very best to play some music that you might have heard in Storyville, specifically Clarence Williams, who is such an amazing composer and musician, and we'll get right into that at the end. But here's the interview with David Fulmer.
My guest is David Fulmer, author of Chasing the Devil's Tail. Welcome back to KGNU, David.
Thank you for having me back. It's been, what, 3 or 4 years?
At least. Yeah. David's one of my favorite authors, and I have to tell you, we're currently in the heart of New Orleans, right next door to Jackson Square in a lovely Dickie Brennan's restaurant called Tableau. So if you hear the clink of, oh, and by the way, downstairs playing music, Wendell Brunius, Evan Christopher, Rowan Guerin, and Seva Vinay on the banjo. It's raining this morning, and they're just playing some traditional New Orleans jazz to entertain the diners for breakfast at Tableau Restaurant. So those of you that listen to my show know that I'm a huge fan of David Fulmer's. He wrote this book called Chasing the Devil's Tail, in which we meet for the first time Detective
Valentin Saint-Cyr.
I know him only as Saint-Cyr. I forget his first name. What I love the most about this book, David, is, you know, I've read everything that you can read about Buddy Bolden. I won't say I'm an expert by any stretch, but I have read all the books about the history of Buddy Bolden, and no one knows really what caused his descent into madness. And you weave a tale, no pun intended, about the descent of madness and his prominence in New Orleans jazz, and it's just a wonderful book.
Thank you. Bolden continues to be an incredibly intriguing figure to anyone who has an interest in American music, and not just jazz. New Orleans was like the root of it, and Bolden was, people have asked me, or people claim, did he invent jazz? No, he didn't invent jazz. I mean, nobody invents something like that. But what he did have was what a number of amazing talents, geniuses, over the centuries have had, and that's this ability to hear things that are completely divergent and somehow assimilate them into something new. And that's what he did. Bolden took marching band music, he took gospel music, he took blues, which was actually called gut bucket at the time, and ragtime, and anything else that he heard. But he heard those things not as these different separate pieces, kinds of music. He heard them as one sort of complex kind of mosaic. And he wasn't a great musician. He didn't read very well. He was a good trumpet player, but he wasn't like a fabulous technician on the trumpet. He was really loud. What he did is he heard something and he was able to play it. And it was so revolutionary that it basically did sort of crystallize all these different types of music, all these different strains of music into something brand new. And it was the beginning of something that's, you know, quite remarkable that now has become world famous.
Indeed, and on April, I think it's 15th or 17th, we celebrate International Jazz Day, and it's always fun to be here in New Orleans for that. I wanted to ask you about how you came to write that book. Hey, well, first of all, tell our listeners that you have a background in music. You've been a music writer for a long time, so obviously you don't come to this, you know, kind of naked, as it were. How did the process of writing that book come?
In addition to being a journalist, I had always been doing something in terms of, you know, creative writing all along. Then I got deeply into music journalism, and especially I was interested in roots music and blues and jazz. The book is really about the music, and so to be able to write a book about that involved the music, well, where do you go? You go to New Orleans. And at this particular time, and I'm really interested in things, you know, at the moment of conception, when it was being born, I wanted to incorporate that, but I didn't want to write a jazz history. I definitely wanted to write fiction. I didn't even really start out to write a mystery, because I never thought of myself as a mystery writer, and still really don't. It's not, you know, the way I think of myself, but it's kind of like this place, as you know, if you think of New Orleans, what it's going to be like tonight. There's going to be some rain, it's going to be misty. It just begs for a mystery. I wanted to have Bolden as a character, and I wanted to have a character that was somehow connected as a detective, policeman in some way, shape, or form. But that character, who turned out to be Valentin, had to be mixed race because of New Orleans' mixes of races and cultures, and be able to cross cross color lines and go sort of be that fluid, and that's how he sort of works his skills as a detective. And indeed, my books are not whodunits. They're not about how these things happen and how he finds out what happens, but why. Why do people do these things? Why do they commit murders or commit their crimes? And then he comes at it from that direction rather than... So he's more like an Edgar Allan Poe than a Sherlock Holmes sort of character. So I, you know, started working on this story, and I wanted Storyville there because it's such rich material. I was stunned to find how few works there were using Storyville as a fictional. I couldn't believe it. It's like, doesn't anybody know? I better keep my mouth shut. So that's where it came from, and it took a long time to write it. It took a long time to find an agent, and then it took her a long time to find a publisher. But once that happened, it began a series, which is now up to 5 books set in Storyville, New Orleans.
People, again, that listen to my show know that I have this deep fascination for Storyville, and when I describe your book to them, I tell them that you can hear it, you can smell it, and you can feel it. You've really done an excellent job, and you're right, the fact that there aren't more stories with the background of Storyville is pretty amazing. The name of the book is called Chasing the Devil's Tail.
Right.
My guest is David Fulmer, F-U-L-M-E-R. You can find all the information you like about him on the internet. I just want to say you received an award for that.
I was nominated for the LA Times Book Prize. Mm. I won the Seamus Award for first novel. I won a Ben Franklin Award. There were several other awards for that book. Another half dozen nominations and best of lists. So
yeah.
The book did really well. It did launch my career.
Great. Well, whatever it takes. Now, you've written a couple other things that I find really interesting. One was the Dying Craft Shooter Blues, which is always one of my favorite blues songs. And you wove a story around,
exactly.
around the song, which
yes.
is great. Give us a little history of that.
Well, the Dying Craft Shooter's Blues is a song that has always been fascinating to me as part of the Rake cycle. The Dying Craft Shooter's Blues is part of the original cycle of songs that came out of the Unfortunate Rake, which is at least probably a 17th century ballad.
And could you just repeat that again, because I'm not hearing it?
The Unfortunate Rake, R-A-K-E.
Okay.
A rake like a scoundrel.
Yeah.
Out of that song came the St. James Infirmary, Dying Craft Shooter's Blues, The Streets of Laredo, and several other songs came out of this same original song that came from England that was about a dying scoundrel, a rake, who is, in the original song, he is brought low by venereal disease, and he's outside. The reason they say St. James Infirmary is because when the song starts, the narrator comes upon him outside St. James Hospital in London, and he's dying. Talks about how he wants to be buried. So one of the strains that came out of it, the blues strains, St. James Infirmary was the jazz thing, the blues strain turned out that he was a crapshooter who had been killed in some way. Sometimes it was a venereal disease, sometimes he was shot. In the case of the Dying Craft Shooter's Blues, it was that he had been shot in some kind of altercation. This particular version, recreated by Blind Willie McTell, who was an Atlanta musician, and I came across his music, you know, when I was 20 years old. That song held this fascination for me. So Blind Willie McTell tells a story on his recording about, he claims, a friend of his who was shot by an Atlanta policeman, and it took him like 3 days to die. And as he was going through his death throes, he talks about what he wants before he dies. And so I wrapped the story around this killing, created a character, again, a one-time policeman whose name is Joe Rose, who's actually a thief who gets pulled into this because of McTell, says, this is my friend and something happened here that we need to know about. I have McTell, you know, writing this song or reworking this song as his friend is dying. And, of course, McTell himself is a character. Years ago, I did a documentary film called Blind Willie's Blues, which was about McTell, his lifetimes in music. I mean, so I always felt he was a great, hugely talented, another, like Bolden, a genius. Not crazy like Bolden, but a deeply important American music legend.
And so So, David, what's happening now?
About a year ago, Amazon Studios optioned all my books for a potential series that have to do with turn of the century New Orleans using Storyville. They have since put that in turnaround, which means they decided they're not going to go ahead with it. However, the producer who brought it to them has found other financing. So right now we're in negotiations to do a new contract to have the books utilized in a television series that will be turn of the century New Orleans. Like anything that goes down in Hollywood, it's not done until it's done.
Yeah.
And sometimes at the very last minute, it's very, very capricious business. But right now, I can say that it looks really positive, and I hope that I'll have some news coming in the next week or two. But then, of course, it goes through, there's this development process, and you never know what's going to happen. So that's why I, you know, people say, aren't you excited? No, I'm not excited, because I've been through this too many times to get excited.
Yeah.
So,
I vote for Evan Christopher for St. Cyr, because he's Evan Christopher and Roland Garin, who are playing music downstairs. They would...
Well,
fabulous.
Maybe we can put them in one of the bands.
Well, there you go. It would be great.
Because there will be this. There is an interest in the series as proposed in the music, because the music itself is just like Storyville is a character.
Yeah.
The music is a character.
Absolutely.
It's a living, breathing character that is part of this really incredibly nuanced environment.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. My guest is David Fulmer. He's an author, journalist. Again, you can find out everything you want at davidfulmer.com. David, thank you so much for taking
thank
the time.
Thank you, Joanne. It's always good to be with you.
It's great to finally meet you in real life.
So here is a little sound of what we might have heard in the parlors of Storyville. This is Clarence Williams. Dill Pickles, done by the New Orleans Ragtime Orchestra from the George H. Buck Recordings, also known as the Jazzology labels, The Essence of New Orleans Jazz from 1991. We started off with Clarence Williams doing the Wildflower Rag, recorded 1921 through 1937. This is a double CD. I could do nothing but play that Clarence Williams for you. And I'm just Googling. I'm going to play some more if we can fit it in. But Clarence Williams III, those of you of the gray-haired generation like me will remember him as Link in the Mod Squad. That was his great-grandson. His grandson, Clarence Williams III on Mod Squad. Anywho, that was followed by 7 and 8 doing a quadrille. A number of quadrilles, quadrille call, figure 1, figure 2. This is the type of music you would have heard in a house of pleasure. Remember that everyone in New Orleans was French, so they were very civilized in their uncivilizedness. So there was a lot of dancing, there was a lot of orchestration. That's Sevenette doing Revisiting New Orleans String Bands 1880 to 1949, a really cool CD. That was followed by Aurora Nealon, one of my favorite contemporary clarinetists, doing T. Ralph. She's wonderful. If you get to New Orleans, do check out Aurora Nealon. So my friend Josh, hey, big shout out to Josh, had sent me an email wondering if this was ragtime music. And of course it is. And ragtime music is the early incarnation of, let's see how it goes first. I need Jack here. The two are intertwined. Ragtime is the original American jazz art form, music form, but yet it doesn't always sound like the piano rags that you've heard, but many times it does. So I think a whole discussion could be done on the relationship of ragtime, but early New Orleans jazz music was certainly called ragtime. We have some tickets to give away, so be the first caller when the music starts for the next set of music to go hear the New Orleans Suspects at Cervantes Masterpiece Ballroom in Denver. They're a really fun band. They're playing Friday, June 26th. We'd be happy to put your name on the guest list. Please do be a KGNU listener member because we love you to do that, and that's how we stay alive. They began playing together in 2009 at the New Orleans Maple Leaf Bar as the Unusual Suspects. The chemistry was undeniable, and in the summer of 2011, they took their new name and began to tour full-time. The New Orleans Suspects, really a great band. Call me at 303-442-4242. We're going to finish the set of music here with Sidney Bechet, a little Louis Armstrong, a little something-something for you. Here's Sidney Bechet doing Way Down Yonder in New Orleans. We'll be right back.
is all to fight for. So love me crying, my heart is tired. A wise old owl said, keep on trying. I'm a little blackbird looking for a bluebird.
Down because we're about ready to go to Swing Shift in Denver with Dave standing by, but I want to let you know that we did acknowledge the emergency alert system announcement that came over that you heard, but I did not. The National Weather Service has indeed issued a warning for severe thunderstorm warning for Adams County, Boulder County, Jefferson County, and Southwest Weld County beginning right now and ending at 9:53 p.m. So do take caution and be judicious. This is Ethel Waters we're hearing right now. She's joined with Clarence Williams and James P. Johnson. They're doing the West End Blues. We started off with Sidney Bechet, one of my favorites, doing Way Down Yonder in New Orleans on the Blue Note recording. After that, Louis Armstrong with Sidney Bechet. I think a rather rare incident of them both together, don't you think, Jerry? Together? Indeed, we heard Blackbird looking for Bluebird. Two contemporaries, two excellent, amazing performers. It's 9 o'clock straight up. Thank you so much for listening. This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 megahertz in Nederland, Colorado, and around the world at kgnu.org.
Thanks as always, Joanne, and a hearty good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dave Gloss with tonight's version of Swing Shift here on KGNU. Weather permitting, we'll make it through another broadcast of Swing Shift. And tonight, given the weather we've been having, let's get away from it all. A travel program, this time headed to the West Coast. So stay tuned for some fun sounds.